Good morning. This is Brenda Eshin Shoshana, back with another episode of Zen Wisdom for Your Everyday Life. And let me just say that Zen Wisdom is just wisdom. It's wisdom that actually lives in all of the different traditions, every single one. All the different religions, all the different practices, it's the heart of the beating heart of teachings. And it's not just the beating heart of the teachings, it's actually living them. That's why I say for your everyday life. It's about making these very beautiful, very simple, eternal teachings real. Like the truth. There's a saying that we say in one of the poems or one of the teachings, which is as the truth eternally reveals itself. This very place is the lotus land of purity. This very body is the body of the Buddha. And what does Buddha mean? Does it mean somebody who is way beyond us? Some state that is barely attainable? Well, I don't think that's the way. I don't think so. I'm just sharing my view. But the Buddha means that which sees, that which knows, that which lives with love. That's how I see it anyway, with compassion. The Buddha, the sun, you can call it divine spirit, you can call it awakening mind, or awakened mind, mind free of clouds, free of troubles even. Not that the troubles, so-called troubles, aren't there, but Buddha doesn't perceive troubles as troubles. No. The mind, the Buddha mind, sees the vastness, sees everything that comes differently, doesn't get caught, doesn't get whacked or pulled here and there by every wind that blows, isn't identified with the comings and goings of life itself, sees it, lives in it, responds beautifully to it, but isn't trapped by it, doesn't feel, oh, that's me. Like if an angry feeling comes, a breeze that blows, it sees it as a breeze that blows, not as something, which, not a chain that binds. That's a nice distinction. Very nice. A breeze that blows, not a chain that binds. It's not that the world appears differently. This very body is the body of the Buddha. It hurts sometimes, gets in our way other times fabulous. Of course, filled with emotions, longings, concerns. This very body, mind, body, one. But this is a different kind of mind than the Buddha mind, or than the divine mind, or than the one mind. The one heart. It's as if we have one way of seeing this and another way. It just keeps appearing automatically. Automatically. Memories come automatically. Fears come automatically. Old beliefs, we call them programs. In the Sedona releasing method, it's called programs. Old beliefs. They come up and they go away. It's interesting when you just take a step back, and that's really what Zen practice is. It's just saying, whoa, let me take a step back and sit down and not be tossed around and pushed around by all of this that keeps arising and then subsiding. A moment of pain, a moment, next moment of love or of comfort. Next moment of this, next moment of that. That is what we call In Zen, we call it samsara, the endless circle, cycle of good and bad, happiness, sorrow, receiving, losing, on and on. The phenomena of change, night and day, love and hate, all of that. It's the two sides of the coin, the dualism. And in a way, it's very important for us because you cannot know the light if you haven't experienced the darkness. So we, in one sense, in the world of samsara, we learn through comparisons. We learn through this constant alteration of situations. Very interesting. If you can view it as very interesting, that means you've taken a step back, you've sat down, you're not jumping all around, and you're in a different position. You're letting it teach you. You're learning from it. You're digesting it. You're absorbing it. You're being guided by it rather than being destroyed by it. Someone said to me the other day, oh my goodness, this world, this life is going to destroy me. That's what the person said. I was very shocked and taken aback at that moment to hear it so vividly said. Because on the one hand, we all believe that we're going to be destroyed. Our body will be ultimately gone, dead, whatever, ill. Our hopes will be destroyed. The relationships we wanted and loved so much will be taken away. Or they'll alter, inevitably, altering. So for this person that felt, and I can understand it certainly, very much like destruction, which is quite a word, quite a way to live, fearing destruction. And from one point of view, it seems that way. It certainly seems so. However, let's take this backward step. I love that. Just sit down. Take a step back from this whole phenomena, this whole experience. I'm not saying to reject it. I'm not saying to transcend it. I'm not saying to reject the world or to withdraw from it. Not at all. It's not withdrawal. It's just take a step back and allow it to do what it does. And you watch it. Be with it, digest it, whatever. Just be quiet. Excuse me. Stay in the silence while it's going around. And your Buddha, we call it Buddha nature or Buddha mind, the mind that sees differently, the divine mind, the mind that has intrinsic wisdom and understanding, is there in all of us. When we take that step back, we give it room to arise. And that mind will absorb the situation. To that mind, as it perceives and receives the world, there is no destruction. So the horror of fearing destruction is greatly minimized and at some point not there. It sees differently. It receives differently. And this way cannot be described in words because it's beyond that duality, good and bad, right and wrong. It's beyond that. It sees the whole picture. It sees how medicine turns into poison and poison turns into medicine. It sees the dance of life, the oneness, the ultimate oneness, the ultimate beauty, and I would go so far as to say the ultimate nourishment for all of us, no matter how painful something is that arises, ultimate nourishment. Poison turning into medicine. Very beautiful image. At one point, I recall my teacher saying, medicine and poison heal one another. And that's, I believe that's a koan. It's quite a wonderful thought. It's an image. Medicine and poison, good and bad. That which nourishes and that which so-called destroys, poison, they heal one another. Each is part of the other. You don't have one without the other. We can go a little further and ask, well, what is the real medicine and what is the real poison? I love that because it's a very, very important question. Very. Because usually what we think of as medicine is meaning what we think of it as healing and nourishing and good for us can really be very poisonous. Not so, not so. And what we think of as painful and poisonous can be wonderfully healing for us, and we can grow a lot from it. Painful experiences, whatever. Painful moments, they come to teach us, not to destroy us. It does look as if the world is a place of destruction, of harm, of poison. Very often it looks that way. Somebody's feeling so wonderful and good, and then they become ill, and then this happens and that happens, or accidents, whatever it looks like in samsara. But in Zen practice, we say, step back, let's go a little deeper or go a little wider. Or look at it differently. That's really what happens. And it's not a conscious thing that I'm looking at it differently. When we become quiet and still and awake and just aware and stop judging every single thing for the preconceived judgment, then all by itself, our Buddha nature, we can say our wisdom nature, arises and shows us what's what? As the truth eternally reveals itself. That's, I love that. That is beautiful. You know how we've all thought this, thought that, and then we have a moment when something else is revealed. It's the nature of the truth to reveal itself. You can't hide it, and really, actually, you can't ultimately hide from it either. It's here. It reveals itself. It's nice when it reveals itself, especially when you're sitting and you're quiet and you can absorb it and digest it. Then you get up and it's with you. You're taking it with you when you take your next step, when you're washing the dishes, when you're going to do your work for the day, whatever that may be. It's with you, and something shifts. These shifts happen naturally and organically and inevitably. Now, when we receive the truth with an open mind and an open heart, then it turns to medicine. Sometimes, if we're fighting it, resisting it, denying it, too upset by it, the truth can turn to poison. It's the same truth. It's the same reality. Will it become medicine for you or will it become poison? That's a wonderful, wonderful question, a wonderful koan, and it's actually up to you. It's all about how willing you are to open your heart and to look at it differently. Be with it in another way. Then indeed, this very place is the lotus land of purity. And what they mean by purity is clarity, beauty. It's okay. It's more than, and we're not saying it from the top of our head. Oh, that's, it's okay, it's okay. But our whole being is praising. We're praising it. Thank you for this. Where we're really knowing it from a very primal and whole way, We're knowing it in our bones. We're knowing it in our being. We're becoming it. We're becoming the truth as it is. Welcoming it. We're not standing at the ocean and saying, I demand that the high tide become low tide and the low tide become high tide. We're just enjoying that ocean so much. So in the midst of all the changes, and particularly in the midst of summer, the midst of summer, summer is quite an intense time for many of us. Many memories, many weather changes preventing us or allowing us to do different things we'd hoped to do or whatever. Summer, a so-called time of enjoyment and vacation and relaxation. Not always so. That's the title of a wonderful book by Suzuki Roshi. Not always so, sometimes so. So let's just, whether it's summer, whether it's winter, whether it's autumn, whatever the season, spring, whatever the season, when you approach it with this state of mind, it's a good season. It's a time of rejoicing in the next breath that you will take. So I hope you have a wonderful day, a wonderful summer, a wonderful week. I thank you for your many wonderful emails. I'm enjoying reading them. Appreciate it very much. If you want to reach me, you can at topspeaker@yahoo.com. And the website for this podcast is www.zenwisdomtoday.com. Again, thank you very much for listening. And I will be telling you soon about this workshop called Making Your Life into a Zen Koan, how we can actually transform whatever happens into a koan to play with. It's from the book I wrote called Zen Play, Instructions on Becoming Fully Alive. And that is, of course, we are alive, and let's become fully alive. And play. When we play in life, everything, our creativity, our laughter, our joy, and our perspective opens very wide. Okay, thanks for listening again, and I will be here next week. Be well. Bye-bye.